It's always a surprise. Oh, that new voice comes in. Yay, Friday Night Balls! Woo! All right, everyone. We're jazzing it up tonight. So giddy up, get ready. Because we have not only New York in the house, we have Texas represented. So for those of you who are new, I am licensed mental health counselor Patrick Manette in Platts in New York. And I started Friday Night Feels about a year ago. And it was a show that I started, just as everything going on with COVID, of just being able to connect with other people, professionals, talk to people with their own journeys, and being able to connect during a different, difficult time and be able to talk about, connect and have fun. And it, as I share with my guests when I'm getting to know them a bit, it's always, give me a quick second. Let's see here. Sorry, someone's just joining through Zoom, so I'm just making sure their screen. Okay, that should be fine. Okay, Stephanie, you're on mute. There we go. Hello. So today I'm so excited because we have the amazing Stephanie D. McKenzie, lead coach of the Firms, joining us from Texas. So Stephanie, welcome to Friday Night Feels.
Hi.
Hello. How are you tonight?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing well, thanks. It's been a long week.
It has been.
So I'm very excited. So Steph and I just met, so now we're new besties. I don't know if she knows that, so sorry if that's a little creepish.
No, I know. I accept it. Like, this is happening. It's real. It's happening. It's so happening.
So I had the honor and the privilege of being on Stephanie's show the other day, and we were just talking, and it was such an amazing experience. And there was a certain phrase that you kept using that I really loved. I think it was divine. Oh, I can't. What did you say? Divine
timing?
No, it was something more magical than that. Like,
It just flows out of me. I bet I'll say it again, though.
It was like not divine intervention, but the divine took over and everything was flowing really well.
Divine providence, divine interruption, divinely hijacked.
There we go. Yes, divine hijacked. Hashtag yes. Stephanie D. McKenzie.
Now trending.
Now trending. So one of the things, so once again, I'm so excited that you're here on Friday Night Feels. And as you and I talked about, it's a show to be able to talk and connect with people from all different walks of life. And one of the things that, is when you're in the podcast world, I was saying to Stephanie, I've said this before, it's sort of like a, professional dating, like, oh, do we like each other? Am I going to keep swiping left? Are they going to show up? So it's always nice when they show up. So Stephanie, I really appreciate
I'm so excited.
I want to spend this time, there's so much that we want to talk about. Yeah. You are doing some amazing, beautiful work in Texas. And I mean, I know it's all over, but I really wanted you to come on so people get to know you and share your story and the work that you do. So could you maybe just tell people a little bit of who you are and what your story is? Because
it's
so amazing. It's divine.
How much time you got? Like,
listen, Friday Night Feels is filter free, so we can go as long as we want to.
I love it. Well, the first thing I have to tell people, because they always say, oh, did you just really just always want to be a coach? And my response is no, I did not. No, I did not. Like, let me say that into the camera. No, I did not. I had no desire to be a coach, except when I thought coaching was the new consultant in the early 2000s. And so I was doing marketing and business consulting. So I started using the terminology without going through training or certification or anything. And so I was still being a consultant and an advisor. So I thought it was just new terminology. It would be years later, still in the marketing sphere, when I decided, well, I didn't decide. There goes that divine hijacking thing again. Yeah. I was working on a project in the marketing space. It was supposed to be a dating site. I said, you know what would be great? Let's do relationship education for the people on the site.
Ooh.
And so despite my practical knowledge, I'm a person that likes to bridge gaps with education. So I said, you know what? I'll go get certified as a coach. And I felt like, okay, because coaching was emerging and I understood it more then. And I'm like, okay, that can help me bridge the gap. Because I didn't want to say, hey, I'm the marketing director and I teach relationship classes. What? Right. So I go get certified. The project goes defunct. Here I am And at this time, I have an award-winning marketing agency. I've worked with celebrities, you know, from this little group called Destiny's Child. I don't know if you heard of them. They were, you know, local. You know, three or four
maybe
girls.
Maybe a song or two.
Yeah, you know, you might have heard of them.
I may have.
And, you know, doing events with them, I had friends that were connected. And so that allowed me to play in a lot of different circles. And I was having a really great time doing that. And so, yeah, I didn't want to be a coach. I wanted to be an award-winning marketer, keep being an award-winning marketer, do marketing, 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 which the funny thing is the marketing keeps coming back. Mm-hmm. Even in my coaching life, like I actually have a program where I certify and train coaches, and it's more like a business class for coaches. It's in a cohort style, but it's more like an MBA and a with a marketing concentration for people that want to be coaches. And so the marketing keeps coming back up. Anywho, my background is bizarre. I have two master's degrees. One's in business administration, one's in Christian leadership. How I came to really become obsessed with healing and wholeness is out of my seminary experience, where I began to understand, you know what? Yeah, I don't have to die to be whole. Like, wholeness is available right now. And I know churches teach otherwise, you know, but I feel like we can have heaven right here on earth. And so that just began to take me down in all of these different places. And that's how we got the second firm, the first firm being the relationship firm, the second one being the healing firm. And though I'm not divulging the actual name, there is a third firm on the horizon. Ooh. As I speak.
Ooh, exciting. I'm sure you'll come back and tell us about it when it's born. Yes. Well, in our discussion the other day, we were talking about trauma, we were talking about relationships, you know, and I love the idea of bridging those gaps, because there's it's so needed. And I think, you know, I work with a lot of couples, and I do online workshops and stuff, especially during COVID. And the more I work with couples, the more I see the need for that educational piece. And for couples to have a safe place to go to work out their issues, but also get that inspiration and that education of saying, how do I be whole? How do I be healthy? And how do I be in a healthy, loving relationship?
Yes.
And I think for a lot of people, that's, you know, they just kind of grow up and it's, they think it just happens.
Yeah. And it doesn't, you know. I think the challenge is that we've been taught that, and I'm sharing this one more place, so bear with me, here we go, and it's shared. Oh, well, I thought it was shared. Okay, now it's shared, okay, good. You know, I think the challenge is that we've been taught to love, and love is what we build a relationship on, and that's it. Mm-hmm. Like, I love you, let's be together forever and ever.
Happily ever after.
Yeah. First thing, one of the greatest things I've learned over the last 10 years, you know, in the relationship space, be them singled or coupled. If we don't like each other, that's a huge problem. I don't care how much we love each other. If we don't genuinely like each other, mm-hmm. like if I don't like the way you deal with situations, if I don't like the way that you communicate or don't communicate, if I don't like the way you comprehend what I'm communicating, that's going to take precedent. It's literally going to be water on a rock.
Right, right.
Literally. And I don't think people understand that, because we've been taught cliche things, you know, biblically, love never fails. Well, mm-hmm. first of all, let me assist you with that. There are four different types of love. And that's an agape love. That's not an eros love. So we've got to stop trying to agape, you know, give unconditional love to romantic partnership. Right. Because it doesn't work. Right. And people are like, but love is patient. Love is kind.
Right.
I'm pretty sure you're not.
Love might be kind and patient, but I may not be so.
Listen.
Let's keep it real.
Listen. And you know what? By that same token, what it does is that it says, oh, well, if I love you, everything's going to be okay. No.
Yes.
If I love you, but I don't like you, we can hang it up now. Right. And that's what a lot of couples have a problem with. They are foundationally flawed in that they do not like each other. Like, they genuinely don't like each other.
And I think sometimes, you know, I think the power of prayer is so important and an important part of so many relationships. Mm-hmm. But I'm always concerned when people think that that's going to be the salvation. Mm-hmm. I am praying, I'm doing this. But then the question is, and you and I talked about this the other day, what are you doing towards your goals, and what are you not doing towards your goals as a relationship? And a lot of times that's, we're not even having those painful conversations.
Exactly. Because again, we've been taught love conquers all. And you know, the funny thing is, Patrick, and you've probably seen this as well, I feel like there's a level of vulnerability that we have to get to in our human existence in order to even develop partnership, in order to even love another individual. Because what's happening oftentimes, and this is where the self-love narrative comes in, is that we have also been taught that when you love somebody, you just give and give and give and give and give and give and give. Mm-hmm. And I saw something on This Is Us, one of my favorite shows.
But when, wait, I'm behind, so don't tell me what happened.
I won't. I'm team no spoilers. But there was one line that Chrissy Metz's character said, and I was like, no, 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 delete, burn it, cancel it. Like literally I went cancel culture on This Is Us. And I love Sterling K. Brown. I've loved him since Army Wives. But she said, yeah, marriage is a big deal. You know, to think about putting somebody's needs before your own for the rest of your life. Cancel, cancel, delete, 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 yes. Delete, delete. Like yes. You could have left that on the cutting room floor, because that's also the problem. Because one of the things that I believe and I have seen is that people love the person more than they love themselves. Mm-hmm. And then they become almost appalled and livid when they don't get that love back.
Right. When there's disappointment or the exactly. the other person's can't stay on the pedestal.
Exactly. And I'm like, they're like, oh, they're rejecting me. I'm like, no, they're reflecting you. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They're reflecting the love, what we call the love lack. They're reflecting the love lack mm-hmm. that you're not giving to yourself. While you're over giving to them, you're under giving to yourself.
Right.
And so in that, they're reflecting you. And this again is a relationship with a moderately healthy person. We're not talking about narcissists and people that have other challenges going on. They may be histrionic or, you know, whatever, have borderline. We're talking about, or be abusive. We're not trying to navigate mm-hmm. abusive relationships. We navigate the hell out of that. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the challenge is that when we begin to care for ourselves, oddly enough, if you're in a relationship with a moderately healthy person, guess what happens? They're going to start to care about you too. They right. start to reflect that energy.
Right.
You know, but people call all the time and they're like, oh, how do I woo my wife? How do I get my person back? And yada, right. yada, yada. And I'm like, not by dealing with them.
Right. Right.
Deal with you. Mm-hmm. You know, but, you know, people don't want to heal. They want a quick fix. They think I do magic in my spare time, which I do, but that's not the point. you know,
well, that I won't say the movie, but that damn phrase of, you complete me, or no. you know, all, that is
kill
just
it, kill it, burn it, dead, cancel.
Get the sage, get the candle, get listen. The scissors.
And I love Jerry Maguire, right? I love Jerry Maguire. We're just gonna say it out loud. Okay. But you know, there's a lot of Patrick. There's a lot of things that sound real romantic.
Yes, but it's abusive.
They are real, real dysfunctional.
Yes, I remember I went to a training. This was years ago, and the presenter was talking about soulmates, and I had already heard that, you know, oh, the soulmate, you complete me, or all this. And she burn kept it real, and she
delete,
said,
delete, delete.
She said, "Do you really want to be with someone who has half a soul?" And I was like, "Oh," but I, but, you know. But then she went on this really beautiful discussion of, you know, there are people who dance with you, who connect with you, who are part of your soul family, yeah. but you have to be whole because you have to be healthy, and you have to, like you said, not only like yourself, you have to learn how to love yourself.
Exactly.
And you can't pour from an empty cup. And I think what, mm-hmm. you know, what most of us working with couples is, you see people who really do care about each other. Mm-hmm. But then all of a sudden there's they end up on opposite sides of the battlefield, and they don't even know how they got there.
Exactly. Exactly. That's so real. And you know, the other thing, and I want to go ahead and dispel this myth, because something happened to me this week that I thought was really interesting. And so, of course, I've been coaching couples for 10 years. One of the things I don't do is discuss my relationship status.
Okay.
And I find it really interesting. Like I was in a conversation recently, and someone, and I was saying, they were talking about, should married people get a checkup once a year? Mm. And I was like, yes, actually in the first year, we say you're a newlywed from 0 to 7 years and one day.
Okay.
That's what we say. And so if I could get the newlyweds and even the nearlyweds to commit to what we call couple care, That would be amazing, especially in the first year. I would like to see you once a month. But people think because they've gotten married that they have all the answers. So, you know, I'm just talking from a very neutral standpoint. And somebody says, are you in a relationship? And I was like, why does that matter? Right. Because if I think one of the problems, and maybe you've had this experience as well, mm-hmm. they're looking for advice as far as what to do. And I'm like, I don't navigate relationships like that. I don't coach like that. Mm-hmm. Now, business coaching, every now and then I have to tell, because a lot of them, when I'm dealing with launching practices or launching people's businesses, they don't know. They don't have the answers readily. So we just keep building until they do. But she was like, well, I just want to know if you're giving advice from a practical standpoint. I said, let me assist you with that. That is a huge misconception. A good coach does not give advice. We ask questions, and very good ones. In fact, somebody just called me the queen of questions when I was live just like 10 minutes ago. Because I can ask a question that will rearrange your whole life. Like, you'll be like, oh my goodness. Oh my God. Like, ma'am, I'm so sorry. But I feel like, inherently we have the answers that we seek. What we seek is seeking us.
Right.
You know, hashtag Rumi.
Right.
And I thought it was so interesting that she was ready to discredit what I said based on whether I was in a relationship or not. And I'm like, whether I'm in or out, first of all, is none of your business, because this is my professional capacity. Mm-hmm. But by that same token, I often see people thinking that just because somebody shares the same status that they do, that they should know what's going on. And what I hate is people who have been married for 10, 15, 25, 30 years coming out and saying, we have the blueprint for marriage.
Oh, yeah.
And because we've been married to each other for 35 years, we want you to have it. Come and be in our program. I'm like,
that commercial.
Bull. I mean, I'm just saying, like, it's complete and utter bull.
Right.
And I'm like, y'all, listen, just because somebody's been married for a long time to the same person, that doesn't mean that they have the answers. That just means that they figured out the questions that relate to them.
Right. They know what recipe works for them.
Exactly.
But it may not be for you.
Listen, you might be a celiac and their recipe is full of gluten.
Right.
Those two can't, meet. They cannot meet.
I think, you know, it's really interesting what you were saying about if you could have couples come in once a month. I see that, you know, especially in the counseling world, is usually they're not in a good place when they come in for counseling.
Sure.
And you can really see the systematically of, man, you really should have come in sick, you know, in a non-judgmental way, but wow, this wound really happened 6 months ago, 6 years ago, 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm,
and I think what I see, and I don't know about your experience, there's such a fear and shame of, if I go for help, this is what I see, that must mean we're really bad. That must mean if we need help, then we're in trouble. That's really terrifying. And I'd rather just put my head in the sand and pull the ostrich card. And just pray that the storm passes.
And I see that too, Patrick. And the thing that I've always said is that, listen, I am a person, I sit here in front of you as someone who has conceivably lost 90 to 100 pounds. Okay. Right. Awesome. Yay. Took me 13 years to do it, but I lost the last 50 in 2019, I believe. Okay. All right. That means I had to work some things out. Okay, great. No, I didn't have a surgery, if anybody's wondering. No, I had to work hard, really hard. What I know about losing 90 to 100 pounds is that it requires a lot. What I know about as a health coach, which I'm certified in that too. I have about 11 certs, honestly. I mean, 10 coaches in one.
Texas is in the house. I mean, we were talking about, we talked about food the other day, what I've been hungry for since then, but I mean, it's a big energy you're representing.
I mean, it's one thing to lose 10 pounds. It's another thing to lose 100. Can you do both of them? Yes, you can. What I find that marriages do is that, like you said, they say, oh, well, let's wait till we're in trouble. And I'm like, no, you don't wait to go to the doctor, you know, until you can't take it anymore. Now, some people do. And if you do, I mean, we understand that narrative as well. However, the challenge is that by the time they come in, they're 100 pounds heavier.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And I feel like you, if you would have come in at that first 10 pounds, You know, when somebody lost a job, when somebody lost weight, when maybe our parents died, when maybe we had our first kid, maybe something happened to that kid. If you would have come in at that first marked change, let's say you didn't do premarital. Okay, fine. So if you'd have come in at that first marked change, we wouldn't have to try to lose 100 pounds.
Right.
Because a lot of people don't want to make they don't want to make the effort to lose 100 pounds.
Right.
Because it's a huge effort, and that's no pun intended, but intended. It's a huge thing. It's going to be about discipline. It's going to be about, you know, changing your eating rituals, because I don't like the word diet, nor do I believe in them. It's going to be about getting a proper amount of exercise. It's going to be about learning what your body doesn't like. There is an entire process that goes with losing 100 pounds that most people don't want to get into. Mm-hmm. And so that's why, and then, you know, of course, in that, you know, trauma therapist, you know, healing coach. Let's get into the real challenge that most of the time their relationship issues have nothing to do with the relationship. The relationship is just exposing it.
Right. That's very important.
They're bringing two broken people into your office or onto your Zoom talking about fix me. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to teach you how to navigate dysfunction. Mm-hmm. That's not the business I'm in. I will support you and assist you in navigating your own healing process. And then if you want to come back together with this person as a whole person, not another three-legged chair trying to hold each other up, then we can explore the possibilities of the relationship. Right. And a lot of people are off put by that. We don't work with couples from the jump. I've just decided it's counterproductive.
Mm-hmm. And you know, one thing that's interesting is when you were talking, that you mentioned the word marriage. And what I've seen is fascinating is I often joke with couples who are married, because I work with couples of all backgrounds, whether they're married or not. But the ones that are married, I try to have that conversation. For some people, there's almost this curse that goes mm-hmm. with the word marriage. Like, they were doing really well.
Ooh.
And then they get married, and all of a sudden, it's like this heaviness goes, not all couples, some. Where there are all of these expectations of to be a good spouse, to be a good partner, I have to stop being who I am to live up to this ridiculously harmful, archaic belief system of what it means to be a good spouse.
Exactly.
And when I say that to people, they'll just like, I never noticed that there's just that tension when we think about marriage.
Yeah. And it's unfortunate because we have decided that, you know, the length of a marriage is more important than the strength of a marriage. You know, if you're married for 20 years, I don't want to hear about the 20 years if you felt like you were in the 10th circle of hell the entire time. Right. You know, but we're like, ooh, bravo, # relationship goals.
Well, I'll say to people sometimes, it's like, all right, so you've had this experience, you got the t-shirt. I don't really think it's working for you.
But your pictures are blurry. Your shirt has a hole in it.
Right. It's like that picture of that dog. I don't know if you've seen it where everything's on fire and he's like, I'm fine.
I mean, like, it's a whole dumpster fire, but yes. You know, people are like, oh, it's our anniversary, you know, # couple, you know, couple goals. And
there's so much love. That's what I see. That's what I love about working with couples, is you see beyond the pain, you see beyond the broken pieces, and you see, oh my God, these are two. And I always acknowledge this, or I try to with my couples, how brave I find them to be, how I believe that they came in.
Yeah, I do too. I do too. Even when they call.
I think I have a business idea for us. I think we should open our own therapeutic coaching matchmaking business. I'm seeing it.
Whoop, whoop.
Could you imagine?
I know somebody we need to talk to about that too. But anyway, wait, focus. Your focus need more focus. You're seeing.
There are no rules on Friday Night Feels, Stephanie D. McKenzie.
Oh, my bad. Is this like Fight Club? Like,
you don't talk about it. Yes, we'll get back to that. You'll just have to. Well, now that we're besties, I mean, we're like instant. Well, I'm following you, so I'm just stalking you on social media.
Yes, stalk me, please. I mean, you know what? I have often wondered about that, because what I want to see is, you know, is people who are healing coming together. I am sick and tired of seeing broken people try to have a whole love, because I do believe it's our divine birthright to be loved, cared for, and cherished properly. Now, that doesn't mean that everybody has it all together, but that means that we are diligently working toward partnership. We are learning about each other. We're being triggered,
yeah,
and taking those triggers, yep, and turning inward and not turning on each other. And you know, we're evolving, because one thing I like to say, Patrick, if we don't grow together, we can't go together.
Right.
And some people are not growing, and they never were, right, but they get into marriage on a might as well. They get into exclusive relationships on a might as well. Well, you know, might as well. We got this kid, might as well.
I don't want to be alone.
And I'm like, sometimes it's good to be alone, you know. Preach. Sometimes it's good, you know. And the thing that people don't understand, Patrick, is that, you know, our life comes in seasons, but a season could be a week. A season doesn't have to be some long laid out length of time, right? It doesn't have to be 10 years. Maybe you just need to be alone for a week.
Right.
And just press in.
I was taking this meditation class once, and the teacher was so amazing. And he said, if you think you're evolved and you're in enlightenment, sit in silence and see what comes up for you. And I was like, oh, so of course I did it. I'm like, oh shit, I got some work to do. I hadn't thought I was enlightened, but I'm like, I'm going to take whatever you teach me. And I was like, oh, that silence piece.
Yeah.
Because that's when, you know, that's when the secrets come out. That's when the pain is there. That's when the rawness, that's when the grief. And that's where, you know, one of the things that I always say is you got to go deeper. You got to do the work, because it's worth it. I use the analogy kind of what, you know, going along with something you were saying, is relationships are like a garden. You have to tend to it or they can't grow.
Absolutely. And let me add to that. You cannot sow seeds on concrete.
Right.
You've got to make sure the ground, and see, I think a lot of times, and especially with men, and I hope the men in my men's group are watching this. When it comes to men, I feel like we've taken away their right to have standards, mm-hmm, for the sake of them being a good man. Mm-hmm. So if you're a good man, you're going to put up with this mistreatment. If you're a good man, you're going to stay for the sake of your kids. If you're a good man, you're just going to stay with this woman, and no matter how she treats you or the fact that she emasculates you, but you're a good man because you stayed. And I'm like, no, don't be a good guy. You know, don't be a good man, be a kind man.
Be authentic.
Absolutely. Right. And so I really hope that, you know, one of the things that I'm working towards is hoping to help men reclaim their right to happiness.
Yes. Oh, I love that. Yay. Happiness for all.
Happiness for all.
So we're getting some shout outs. So I just want to share with you. If I mispronounce this, I have Marita Gilcret. Is that a friend of
yours? Yeah, Marita.
So she's saying hello, that she enjoyed our show the other day, so she had to come back. She needs the whole soul love. Natasha Campbell is saying hello.
Who's Natasha? Can I talk about Natasha for a minute? Because she handles our foundation's experience at the firm. She's amazing. I love her. I'm complete fangirling over Coach Natasha. Just know that.
I love that. Well, and we got to get into like your people so people can know how to get a hold of them. But Karen is saying hello. Natasha is saying, this is us. So everyone, thank you so much for saying hello. If you have any questions for Stephanie, you know, please just put them in the chat. We'll be happy to answer those.
Please do.
Let me just see.
I'm trying to see how I can, if I can see. Let me see.
Oh, Beatrice from Chile is saying hello.
Well, hello.
So we're international.
Okay, cool. Now I can see.
Yeah.
Yes, now I can see. Now I can see something
about it.
Thank you guys for sharing too.
So tell me, or you know, and tell the people who are watching a little bit of, you know, you and I were talking before the show started about this program with triggers. And you and I talked about this a little bit on your show the other night. And, you know, triggers itself could be a degree and a focus for us to really, and we hear it a lot, but I don't think people really know a lot about. So, and you had said that you were working on something with triggers. So I wanted to go back to that.
Yay. Well, I'm working on an intensive regarding triggers. It's called The Gift of Triggers. Okay. The hope is that those who are enrolled will be able to go, like, yeah, I feel like this, as someone who focuses on healing, we're always talking about triggers taking us to a wound. But, you know, if we allow ourselves to press into that wound, if we feel, deal, heal, and seal that opening in our lives, then the trigger can take us other places. It's right. called a trigger trip, which, I mean, no drugs, you know, we're not gonna be high, but I'm just saying it's a trip. There's a gift that the triggers want to give us if we're willing to receive it. And in order to be able to receive it, we've got to deal with that wound first. But we're going to go beyond the wound in that trigger intensive that starts on June 24th, which is my father's birthday. I think he would have been 82 or 80, I think 82. So, and it's a full moon. So we're going to listen. The energy.
Quick question, is that in person or is that hybrid? What are the options? Oh my God, yay. So it could be all around. Giddy up, people.
Can
get on this. And I'm sorry, men or women, both? And everyone between?
Yeah, men or women, both. Yes, we want. And you know, I would really like to see more men being enrolled in our programs. You know, I think that's a really big deal. And so what we normally do is that we do what's called an interest meeting where we talk one-on-one.
Okay.
Oh, Karen says heal, feel, deal, heal, and seal. There you are, Karen. So now I can see comments. I'm like, yes. So we do an interest kind of conversation to see if this is something you want to do, what your goals will be, and if it's a fit for you. And then you can enroll in either the group part, the private part, you can enroll in the group part or the group and the private part.
Okay.
And so the privates are your opportunity to work one-on-one with me, no matter where you are, to really integrate what you've done in the prior 4 weeks of study. And then we have a fifth week that's called our inner work week, where we don't do anything but go inside. And so every week you're getting new materials, new affirmations. There's a playlist that comes with it. There's something else in that packet, and I'm trying to remember exactly. You get questions to ponder in the week to come. So, you have like one question. So you get journal prompts. It's a very rich experience, and we're finishing our intensive Hero Worthy. And there's one particular woman in there, and she said, oh my God, like, it just feels so good to put a name to things. And to understand greater, because a lot of times we talk about people pleasing, and that's something that we have re-termed either, you know, validation seeking or making immense external investments. And we want to shift that narrative to people normalizing worthiness and prioritizing self so that they can make immutable internal investments. It's all about where the investment is. Mm-hmm. And not that you can't invest in others, but we're seeking balance. It's all about balance. And so the trigger intensive is about also that balance, but also, you know, being able to harness the power of the trigger to fuel us into other spaces beside the wound.
Right. And I think a lot of times when people hear the word balance, they think it's supposed to be perfect non-movement status. And if you think of a balance, if you ever seen a scale, it goes up and down. You do okay, you carry a little bit more, I'm okay. We, you know, it's a dance.
Yeah.
And as long as we're in flow. Yeah. And you know, that connection of I have you. And when I'm working with couples, when I'm doing my Hold Me Tight workshops, I use the analogy a lot about dancing together of it's okay if you sometimes I think of relationships of you know, junior high dance, where it's a little awkward, you step on each other's, but then you find a flow.
And that's the thing, the flow, you know, there are so many things, Patrick, that I don't think that we understand that we have a right to in life.
Right.
Sometimes we've normalized struggle. That's not what we're created for. We've normalized seeking external validation. That's not what we're created for. We've normalized deprioritizing ourselves. That's not what we're created for. We think self-care is a bubble bath and a glass of wine. That's not what we're created for. Right. We're created to have a rich life. There should be ease and flow and pleasure. And I think that a lot of times people think, oh my God, I have to earn pleasure. No, honey, you need pleasure because that's a different level of creativity within you.
Right, right. And you know? That whole word worthy is another one of, I don't deserve any of it. It's like, so where is this guideline? Where are these rules? Where is this? Who gets to determine that?
Well, you know, we should. But you know, one thing that I found is that when we're not supported in what we really, truly want, need, desire, and deserve, it's rare that we get it.
Right. And not only not supported, but abused, I think is another side of the coin too.
That's the extreme. And we often, you know, and I say this all the time, no one has the right to treat us any way but well.
Right.
But then this is why the moderately healthy partner comes into play. And again, that's a Stephism. Because what I've noticed is the line of demarcation between the moderately healthy partner with their own stuff going on versus the let's say abusive, emotionally, financially, possibly physically, abusive partner is that person, that abusive partner is exploiting your wounding. And when you say everything from, oh, you're going to the gym or you've been reading a book, it's all vilified. You make any kind of shift and it's like, why are you doing that? Why don't you stay the same? You're not going to lose any weight. They attack your desire to
keep you stuck.
To keep you stuck. A moderately healthy partner is going to be like, huh? Oh, so you're back in the gym. Now they might say something like, okay, okay. I mean, you haven't been going. But ultimately, they're going to applaud your efforts to be better.
Right, right. Hopefully. And they go, hey, you want me to go with you?
Maybe.
I like my Zumba class. I like just dance doing it by myself. Okay, I get my groove on.
And that's, I know, right?
I don't need you. My dog looks at me. She's like, what?
You know, I'm like, I'm not that person that's like, yeah, let's go work out in the gym together. We might be in the gym together, but we're not in the gym together.
Right. Like, I have my own TV shows I want to watch. I have my own music. I went with a friend once and I was just like, can you just leave me alone?
I know. I've had that friend. When I used to go to Orange Theory and there was this girl. And at the time, I was probably 240, 230 at the time. And I'm on a treadmill. And, you know, that's a lot of weight to move on a treadmill when you decide to run. And she's talking to me. And I'm like, listen, honey, I got to take all the concentration I have right now is in moving these thighs, these hips, and this butt on this treadmill and not falling off. I cannot have a conversation. And then they would turn the music up. I'd be like, thank you, Jesus. Like, this is me. You know, I'm doing my thing because I'm like, oh, go away. But, you know, I want to tell you a funny story about one of my clients and give her massive kudos. One of the things, we literally flipped her marriage in a week. And this is the difference between being with a moderately healthy person and a moderately unhealthy person. Because she says, you know, it just feels like people don't take me seriously in my house. Like, okay. And one of my tools, and not that this is always the way to do this, but what I will say is that anytime you have a complaint with a close relationship, turn it inward. So if your complaint is, yeah, it just seems like nobody's taking me seriously, ask yourself. Self says, are you taking yourself seriously? Mm. And so she did that and she found that she was not taking herself seriously. She was not making her needs a priority. And I have to give her kudos. And if she hears this, she knows exactly who she is. Like, I'm pleased as punch. And I think it was about a week, if not a week and a half, she made one small change. She said, you know what? I want to walk in the evening. So she started walking. That one change flipped her entire marriage.
Wow.
All of a sudden, because she's with a moderately healthy person.
Right.
All of a sudden, they're paying attention. You know why? Because she's paying attention. So he's reflecting that energy back to her.
Right.
The moderately unhealthy person is going to be like, well, why aren't you here? Well, why aren't you doing this? Well, why are you got to walk every
day? Why are you taking time away from us?
There you are. Like, I need you to be here.
Right.
You know, the nerve of you. Like, I mean, walking's not going to help, you know, because then they start with the shame and all of that.
Right. Can we just jump into one other little area? Because the spirit's moving me, so I'm going to go with that. Is that I can save them, or I can fix them, or I can heal them.
I'm unplugging.
When I hear that, I'm like, no, no, but you see it. You see, especially when there's trauma bonding, when there's...
I used to be it. What are you talking about?
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of people can relate to this of, oh, I see the potential, or they give me... One of the analogies I use sometimes is when you've gone through abandonment trauma, hard life issues, and you're really in a state of emotional deprivation. You're in that desert, right? And so when someone comes and gives you just a drop so you don't die, you think, oh my God, this is so much better than where I was.
Yeah.
And you forget that there could be a whole oasis right, you know, a few steps away. And we just hold on to that. I'm just going to survive.
Yee,
and so when I see relationships and when they're in survive, and I know Gloria sings a song and we all sing to it, but that's not how... We're not meant to just survive.
No.
Like you're saying, we're meant to thrive and to grow and to develop and to blossom.
Yeah.
But so many times it's so terrifying because people think, if I give up even this little droplet of water, of love, of attention, of affection, I'm going to just fall back to that 10th dimension of hell and be completely alone.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the most heartbreaking thing. When you see the most amazing person in front of you.
Yeah.
And they don't see it.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, and I think at the end of the day, I think that goes back to kind of the conversation we were having about the ability to heal together, you know, because we all have our stuff and we all have different levels and we're peeling back layers and all of that. And, but I think a lot of times the problem becomes wanting to fix somebody. And I'm like, okay. Are you trying to fix them because you don't want to turn inward on your own stuff? Do you need a project? Do you watch too much HGTV? Like, what is, you think you're Chip and Joanna, you're going to shiplap your relationship? Like, what's happening here? Like, and I've been there.
A coat of paint will fix everything.
Yeah, a coat of paint, you know, and a new door and a new room. And you know, the thing of it is that, you know, so many people, like I said, I've lived that in my life. You know, I developed a role that I would play and I was the ride or die chick. And so I gave 10 years of my life to someone that I wanted out of the relationship in at the 6-month mark. Don't ask me how I did it. I did it. But I can relate to playing certain roles because, oh, I want to be loved. This person is going to like me. If I just love them enough, they're going to see how great I am. And so all this time, you know, 10 years, I'm playing that doggy in the window. You know, okay, yeah, I'm going to help you get through this, even though this is the dumbest situation ever created. Yeah, I'm going to be there. I'm going to show you. I'm going to do this. And I made a really dumb decision that I shared with my group that really could have altered the trajectory of my life. Mm-hmm. And I did that. And so when people start to exhibit those types of things, I get it. I empathize with that. But I also know that it's so empty. Mm-hmm. You know, you got to let people walk their own path, even if you love them. Mm-hmm. You know, and if they're not walking it, like I said earlier, if we don't grow together, we can't go together.
Right.
And being committed to evolving is an amazing thing. Watching somebody you love evolve and have new learnings and new dimensions is great, but you cannot do it for them.
Right. And one of the things that I've learned, and I say this with my people, is you have to give someone the dignity of their reaction.
Yes. Oh, I like that. I like that.
Because if you're not, then you're taking something away from them, even if that's pain, because you don't know if that pain is what they need to get to where they're supposed to be, where they can help someone else, where they can pay it forward.
Bravo. That's the thing. Like, and when you get to the point, I think sometimes, you know, if you're in the people pleasing space, and I'll tell anybody I'm a recovering people pleaser, and a lot of people don't believe me. And I said, well, that's because I probably look the same way. My motives are different, you know? And sometimes I have to call myself out like, hey, are you fixing something? Are you trying to fix? What's happening here? And so I know how to pull my energy back. Everybody's like, gosh, you edit and I can self-coach like a champ. But I had to sit on a couple of couches to do that. So I'm just saying, I didn't come like this, but I had to work for it. And you know, the challenge is that we don't know where somebody, we don't know what's best for somebody, mm-hmm. even if we want the best for them. And so I love what you're saying, because it helps us say, you know what, they might need this. Mm-hmm. They might need to hit rock bottom, as painful as that might be to watch. They may need to not have any money. I need to lay down the cape and be my own superhero, stop putting on the cape to go out and rescue them as right. if I'm their living, breathing, walking superhero.
Well, and we always talk about like helicopter parents, but we never talk about helicopter partners. Ooh. Yeah, let that one sink in. Ooh. Friday Night Feels, hashtag.
Trending now.
Like, oh, I want this or that, or, you know, and what I see sometimes is that enmeshment of where it goes from partners to differentiation of power to parental roles of you're equals. Let's just keep this real. Like, you're supposed to be equals. And this is not just romantic. This is platonic and even professional. And I don't care if someone's your boss or whatever. There should be that respect of we're people.
Correct.
And like you were saying, there should be that respect. And sometimes the, you know, situations are tricky, but knowing I deserve more just because I deserve more. Not
correct.
I deserve that respect, that love, that dignity. And I love that word dignity because I think it's so powerful.
And you know, I love it too. And I think that, you know, people are gonna, you know, and there's this other misnomer, right? That somebody, and some of it's biblical, some of it's a lot of Ruth and Boaz, and well, you know, Boaz was rich, and you know, Ruth went in and she laid down and then they got married. And I'm like, no, that's not how the story actually goes, but okay.
What does that have to do with you in 2021? Right,
like, because you know, it's teaching people that the person that you get with, because I guess you've been so good, the person that you have any issues, and they're going to be rich and healthy and they're going to be fine. And I'm like, who tells y'all these lies? The person that you're more than likely going to encounter that could very well be the love of your life may come to you in a broken state. Not because they want to be broken, but they needed to be broken so that you could see them. Mm-hmm. See, well, I think what people don't understand is that people will call and they'll say, oh my God, we've been together 6 months and da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And I'm like, okay. Because see, I personally believe that we're not in a relationship until we see coping mechanisms. We can't commit till I know how you get mad, sad, angry, how you take shame, blame, fear. If all we do is go Netflix and chill, and if we're just having a very surface
and magic and rainbows.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, rose and rainbows and whatever else. If that's all we've gotten,
it's not,
then we haven't gotten far enough.
I saw this meme once where it said, never be in a serious relationship with someone until you see how they respond when the Wi-Fi goes down.
That part.
And I'm like, I feel attacked. I feel judged.
You know, those people are like, oh my God, I love her. Oh my God, I love him. And I'm like, okay. You know, so run me the
trajectory. What's love got to do with that?
Yeah. Well, I mean, do you like them? Do you have enough data?
And are you liking who they are or who you think they could be? That's one I see too.
Yeah.
Oh, they have potential. I can fix them. Like I said, I can save them. And instead of saying, you know, one of the things that I ask couples too, of, you know, when do you have fun? And definitely. Not just like, you know, it's like, when do you have genuine fun? When's the last time you laughed? And it's always like a silly quote unquote memory, but it's always like where that romance is. Like, you remember when we got caught in the rain? Remember when we got lost? Remember when we just couldn't stop laughing? Remember when you brought me to your parents? Remember when we had that meal, when you burned dinner? It's always like that magic of, you know, and that's one of the things too about love is it isn't as complicated as we make it.
It's not.
We're complicated as human beings, but when we simplify it, those needs of, am I safe? Am I connected? Can I be secure and vulnerable with you?
Yeah. And I think those are questions that we definitely need to start asking, but I feel like we don't ask them because we don't feel as if we have the right to those things.
Or we're also afraid too of what if the answer is no.
Yeah. And you know, that's interesting that you say that, because I was saying earlier that I never ask a question unless I really want the answer to it. Right. And so if I don't think I can handle the answer, I don't ask the question until I can.
Right.
And so the challenge that I see a lot of times is that people don't want to, humans don't want to risk asking the question that may require them to make a different decision, you know? And so they stay in it with assumption.
Right.
And there's a quote on our website, on one of our websites, that's like, assumptions are the termites of relationships. I don't know who said it, but if you go to therelationshipfirm.com, you can see it. It's right there in the middle of the page. And I do believe that. Mm-hmm. But I think sometimes we're so afraid to be awkward, to be vulnerable, that we run around like little Inspector Gadgets looking for context clues. Do they like me? Do they want to be with me? Well,
they said this. They responded with this emoji and not that emoji. And they didn't tell you they loved me 1,000 times. Or why did they take so long? Like, all of these innuendos that aren't there.
You know what? Funny story. I was in college and there was this guy. And we're Facebook friends. If he sees this, he knows this story. But it was the funniest thing. You know, I would ask him, he was an athlete, and I said, hey, I knew that they had fresh fruit in there. Bring me fresh fruit. And he would bring me fresh fruit. And I said, thank you. And so at that time I lived across campus.
Mm-hmm.
And so one day him and a friend, they walked across campus and I said, thank you. And we all went to the best cafeteria that was on campus. I went to the University of Texas, hook 'em. And so we went to the best cafeteria in Kinsolving, which was one of the dorms.
Mm-hmm.
One day, and this was probably maybe a year or two later, I'm trying to remember, maybe even 3 years later, somehow he and I ended up in a conversation because we were always buddies.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And at the time I was somewhat attracted to him, but he was an athlete and and so one day we ended up talking and he said, you knew I liked you. Huh?
Mm.
And he said, I brought you grapes. Okay.
Oh, and cherub.
Hey, Patrick. He's like, we walked across campus to come see you. To go to the best cafeteria. So in his brain, he had put out all of the signals.
Oh my gosh.
And in my head, I was like, oh, it's so sweet. He brings me grapes. At that time in my life, everybody brought me I was the girl, like if I forgot my fork, I was, hi, hey friend, will you go give me a fork? They're like, oh, I hate you, Stephanie. Okay, here's your fork. So you bringing me something didn't mean a thing to me.
Right.
You know, and I say all that to say, we're adults now. We need to use our words.
Right. And if we haven't said it, they don't know. There's no mind reading.
That's true.
Couples Counseling 101, no mind reading.
Yeah, we don't. And somebody said the tea leaves, a friend of mine said tea leaves. I'm like, okay, so you're reading tea leaves like he can tell the future. And I'm like, you know, and sometimes, and here's the thing, I feel like the best relationships, let me see if I can find this. You know, I feel like we've been talking about relationships all night. Let me see if I can find this really quickly that I jotted down. It was about the best relationships are sans expectations, assumptions, and time sensitivity. And it was like, eat something. It was something I made up. And so expectations, assumptions, and time sensitivity, meaning that the expectations that I have for you are communicated. Mm-hmm. They're not closeted. Mm-hmm. The assumptions are non-existent. We don't assume because we communicate. And then time sensitivity means that we're put on a schedule. Mm-hmm. So by the third date, we should be doing this. And by the sixth date, we should be doing this. And by 6 months, we should be doing it. No, this is not a time sensitive matter.
Right.
We need to mark the strength of our relationships independent of the length of our relationships.
Right. With healthy, important foundation creation.
Absolutely. And I also, you know, I definitely feel like, you know, when it comes to the traumas and it comes to the triggers, we bring those into the relationship. Mm-hmm. And so if we're not making a valiant, concerted, intentional effort to heal, then all we're doing is pussing all over what could be a glorious love affair. And then sitting back going, well, that didn't work. Let me try something else. I'm like, maybe something else you should try is healing you.
Right. Instead of just discarding people.
Correct.
Or ghosting them.
That part.
So how can people find you? Because I think they all need you.
they need you too.
Hey, listen, I see a future.
You can read the tea leaves. No. I mean, I'm easiest to find at Stephanie D as in delightful, McKenzie.com, and all roads lead there, be it if you're on Facebook, if you're on Twitter, if you're on Instagram, Stephanie D. McKenzie, you can Google it, you can find me, and there I shall be.
That would be amazing. And, you know, as we wind down today, I just have one more question for you. What is one thing that you would like the listeners and the viewers tonight to walk away with from our conversation tonight?
I think ultimately understanding that there's nothing wrong with you. You know, you're a spirit having a human experience, and in that comes the right to change and evolve.
I love that. Yay! Stephanie D. McKenzie, thank you so much for coming to Friday Night Feels. I hope that you come back. You're now part of the Friday Night Feels family, so you're welcome anytime. Giddy up. Oh. Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't know. What are they doing in Texas? I don't know. What are
all
they
right. doing? I took riding lessons. I'm here for it.
Let's do it. So everyone else, I hope that you have a wonderful weekend. I know it's a long weekend for some, or a weekend. So I hope you're all staying safe and have a wonderful time. And we will see you in 2 weeks here on Friday Night Feels. Ooh. Everyone stay safe. Bye.